Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so, all right. So I think this is you, Deb. I'm going to answer. Okay, that's me. So I believe, let's see. Welcome to Community Advocate Network. Your live caller. Hello.
Hi, Tanya.
No, this is Deborah. You're live.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Deb?
I can hear you.
Okay,
well, you are live. Turn your volume down so you can listen straight through your headset.
Okay.
Okay, Tanya, thank you. I heard you. You can hear Deb good.
Yes, I can hear.
Okay, wonderful. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day, Deb.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing great, having some fun with it. We're still in quarantine. And what are you doing today for Mother's Day?
Well, my family is having a live Zoom tea after service today. So I will get out my fancy teacup that was left to me by my grandmother, and we'll all be on Zoom drinking tea.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Okay, guys, so that's a good idea. If you guys know how to use Zoom or any type of FaceTime, Skype, or anything like that, that's a really, really good idea to do with your moms today. Don't visit. Do not visit, especially our senior moms. Don't visit. Please, don't visit. So cool. So are you going to share with us some of your best memories or your best advice or your best quote from your mother? Something she always said to you.
Experience that I had with her.
Okay.
And she was, to me, a very bold person. She, we were in a car one day driving down the expressway, and we saw a car pulled over to the side of the road, and there was a lady and some kids there. It was a big Cadillac filled with kids back in the day when you didn't have to have seat belts or there wasn't a limit
right.
to how many
yeah.
people could be in the car. So they had a flat tire. And we were, I think we might have been coming home from someplace. And so my mom pulls over to help them. And I'm thinking, why is she pulling over to help these people? Because it's a bunch of them, and it's just me, her, and my sister in the car. And anyway, she becomes roadside assistance for this person that she never, ever met. Gets the tire taken care of, and then sends them on their way. And then another time she did a similar thing. It was even more dramatic for me because we were driving down the street, and she saw a crowd of people around a grocery store, and she saw a little girl on the ground. And she ran over there. She stopped the car, got out of the car, went over to where they were, and there were a bunch of people hovered around this little girl. And so she started telling people what to do, move out the way, where does she live, and blah, blah, blah. And so they started talking
wow.
to her like she has some authority, and they took her to the home of the little girl's parents. She left us at their house. She did not know them. She left me and my sister at their house,
yeah.
took the little girl's
yeah.
family back to the store, got her, took them to the hospital because of something had happened to the little girl, and then came back and got
wow.
up. And I'm like, who does that? And now this was back in the day when you could do stuff like that, apparently.
You could do that.
And,
You could.
Yes. And I was so
I
was normal in a way, but when I think back on it, I was like, she was doing what the word says to do. You see somebody need help and you can help them.
Yeah.
And so those are some of the memories that I take from my mother. And there's a bunch of different stories where she did things for strangers that just
yeah.
threw me for a loop because there were things that I would never have done. And, I mean, picking people up at the bus stop in the rain, taking people to the store she didn't even know, bringing kids into the house and buying them gifts. I mean, she just did a number of things. My mother was not a holy, holy, spiritual person, but I saw
beautiful
in her an
lady.
Example
of
how
I
should live.
Yeah,
so those are
I
some of my
your mother
memories.
Very well. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was just saying that your mom was such a beautiful spirit. I remember her well. We've known each other long enough to
right.
So I remember her so well. She was so sweet. In fact, I had coffee with your mom. You probably don't even know that, do you, at her house?
Well, I know from having had a conversation with you, and then from also her bragging on some of the work you did for her. One day I came over and she showed me something that you did. I didn't even know you guys were doing this particular job. And she's like, oh, look what Debbie did to me. And I'm like,
she was so pretty. Yeah, I sure did. She would come up to the shop if she wanted something, and yeah, she sure did. But and she was so pretty. She was so pretty. I remember her just being so pretty. When we were growing up, we didn't realize how pretty she was.
And these boys in our neighborhood teenage boys would flock by our house. They see my mother come home with groceries. They all want to help her bring in the groceries. And to us, it was mom. So we didn't realize till we got older, oh, my mom is kind of cute, you know. And the boys did like her. But they were also afraid of her. And our friends were afraid of her because they said she didn't play. Some boys had sat on our steps. And they were talking to us, and my father pulled up, and one of the girls and one of the boys said, oh, her father said, we better go. And one of my friends said, oh, no, you don't need to be worried about her father. Just wait till her mother come home.
That's right. Mama's house. That's right. It was like that with me, too. It was definitely mama's house. So I think that's a wonderful story. I think, as you were telling that story, I was thinking about how I always credit my mother, actually both my parents, for my, this is just a term I made up. I call it a servant's heart in terms of helping people and being kind of like that caregiver type of personality. Do you think that you get that from your mom in terms of ministry for you?
Well, I'm actually called, I'm not a minister. However, I minister because that's what God called us to do. And I got the service heart from my grandmother. She had 13 kids. Okay. And she was also a Cub Scout leader. And when I was growing up, I could not grasp why would she be a Cub Scout leader to all those little boys. And she got all these kids. To me, I would be ready to not have anything to do with kids. But I saw my grandmother doing Cub Scout work, doing volunteer work in the high school. She was a teacher, and she did things in her church. And I'm like, why is she doing all of this? That's just amazing to me. And so I saw it trickle down to my mother. And then apparently after one of my aunts saw my Facebook post the other week, she's like, Debbie, I saw my mother. And she saw her mother in me. And so that I think it's generational. My sister even does service things that she didn't even tell me about for years. And I was shocked. I saw in the newspaper where she had done something for people, and I didn't even know about it. And then I said, well, I didn't even know you were doing that. And so she went on to tell me a list of things that she did. So I believe that those kind of spirits do run in families, and that's what I have in my family, a service heart, like you said.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's absolutely genetic. How, I don't know. But, yeah, I think it's absolutely genetic. Well, are you having service this morning?
We are at 10:30, so I'm going to get off the line and go on the line again. So I'm going to stay.
I will definitely let you know if you won. I'll definitely let you know because I'm going to see if I can get Tanya to call in. I don't see anybody else in the room, so I'll see what happens. So it looks like it's between you and Tanya today.
Okay.
So,
well,
I love you. My sister, I love you.
Thank you so much.
And I have been listening to you doing your teaching, and it's been wonderful, Deb.
It's my Bible study. I like to say it's my Bible study.
Okay.
If you learn something, praise God, but it's how I study the Bible.
Yes, and it's good. You see the response that you're getting, right?
Yes, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. But see, I already know your teaching. I grew up under your teaching, so to speak.
I know. It's been a long time.
It has.
So, Deb, thank you for inviting me in. I'm glad I called.
Yeah.
I'm glad to connect now, and I love you very much.
I love you, too.
You're
happy
welcome.
Mother's Day. Okay.
Thank you. Bye now.
Okay. Bye-bye. Oh, that was fun. That was a good... Tanya, are you going to call? Please call. Listen, but I will. Okay, she's calling. Because I want to share, I want people to, even if, it's the video playback, okay, that's just me. Even if people are listening to it during the video playback, I always say that you never know how you bless someone, how when you think. That nobody's listening and nobody's watching. You just don't know how you affect people and how you bless people. I've just always been a firm believer in that. So I like when the stories are personal because it helps us to remember. We're so bombarded with information these days. We're so bombarded with life and struggles and, just day-to-day and we need to not dwell on the past, but certainly learn from it. There used to be, what was the saying? Something about if you don't know the past, if you don't know history, you're doomed to repeat it, or something like that. And that's of course on the negative side, but on the positive side, it's good to know where you come from and to process how you are who you are. And of course, our mothers can definitely provide that for us. Okay, so I have another caller. Good morning.
Hi,
welcome,
Deb,
to the Mother's
Day
Special. You're live.
Good morning, sis. How are you? Good morning.
I am doing
how are
great.
You,
happy,
sister?
Happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you.
Happy Mommy's Day and Grandmommy's Day.
Yes, I am on that list on both sides, aren't I? And even have a GG baby.
Yes. And
so I
got
thank
a GG
God
baby.
For. Yes, I mean he is our. I think he's our fourth generation from my grandmother because he's her great great great. So it has been an amazing, amazing thing. At first, you think, oh, my God, you're making me old. Keep making me a grandmother and a great-grandmother and a this grandmother and a that grandmother. But I am thankful that God is allowing us to be able to see this.
It's a blessing.
so much is going on, and you never thought in this day and age you would see the things that are happening right now ever happen. It is just mind-blowing.
It is.
It is absolutely mind-blowing.
So,
but
listen,
nonetheless,
I definitely want you to share your favorite memory of your mother, or favorite saying, something she always said to you, or your favorite story or quote, whatever, from your mom. Would you hit us, give us
a good
one?
Oh, my gosh. My favorite one that my mother always told me, and she was always firm about this, she says, no matter what the circumstances and no matter who it is, you always stay true to yourself. You never let anybody take you away from you. You're the only you you'll ever be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember thinking, what does she mean by that? I think she told me that when I was probably 11 or 12, and it had something to do with some other girls, you know, being mean and going through that thing about you not blending in or mixing into what they were doing, and I was feeling a little some kind of way about it. And when I came back in,
yeah.
And my mother was like, well, why aren't you outside? I thought you were going to go outside and do whatever. And I was like, oh, I don't want to play with those girls. They're this and that. And what it was a lot of things about me that I realized they were inferior of. And that was my strong personality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always felt like I didn't need to follow people. I want to do things the way I want to do them. It's not always me got to listen and do what the group is doing. So that was the thing that my mother always said. She says, you know, you're always you. You don't do what other people do.
Yeah.
Because that may not be the right thing. So, you know, she taught
me to,
you know, have forethought. You think about what you're going to do before you do it and what the repercussions of it are, because it was always that thing where you do something that you know I don't allow, you'll be getting your butt kicked while they may be at home watching TV. So you know you didn't want to get your butt kicked, so you was like, let me make sure I don't do this because I know my mother going to beat my tail if I go home or she sees or hears that I did this and she told me not to. So those are things like that. And then, you know, I appreciate my mother's style. I appreciated her making sure that I knew what to do as a grown woman, making sure that I knew how to care for my children, how to take care of my home, you know, being able to cook for myself, feed my children when you got married, you know, being able to look after and take care of your family. And I really, really love those values because not was it just coming from my mother. Those things were coming from my grandmothers as well as my aunts. You know, I saw that whenever I would go over to any auntie's house or my grandmother's house, they cooked. There was no eating out.
That's right.
There was a full meal every time you walked in that house, cornbread or whatever they were making that was going to be with it, and there was dessert. And there was no issue about fixing a man's plate. You know, there was this thing where, what's wrong with him? He can't. My mother and my grandmothers, they fixed my father's and my grandfather's plate, and they came to the table and said,
that's right.
There wasn't
any
that going into the kitchen, and they had to fix a plate. Never. And even to this day, my sons, they're grown. And whenever they come to my house and eat, I always fix their plate and take it to the table.
Yeah.
You know, and I've done that ever since they were little, you know, growing them up. This is what you would want to get from the woman that you're with. You want her to help and take care of you. It's the same as you helping and taking care of her.
That's right.
You know, I came from that belief that you know, at that time, you know, it was a thing that black men had it so hard to having so much disrespect. So the only way for them to come home and feel secure and feel like the king was to come into their house. So if you walked in and you couldn't fix your man's plate and put it at the table, can feel like, okay, I'm the man of this house, then what are you saying?
That's right.
Oh, I could go on in there and fix your plate and sit down. I don't believe in that, and I still don't. I still don't.
No,
and
right.
I mean, I don't have a problem fixing some man's plate. I mean, even if it's my uncles that will come over to my house and they would say, oh, you cooked. I'm like, oh, here, sit down. I fix the plate and tell, you know, put it at the table for them. Here, come on in. It's sitting here in the dining room table or it's sitting in the kitchen, wherever I serve them at. That is, to me,
right,
such a minor thing. But it's a big thing to a man to see that, hey, I prepared a meal, and I'm going to prepare it and put it on the table for you so you can eat it and enjoy it.
That's right.
Because when they walk out that door, they're walking into a whole world of something that may not even respect them as a man.
That's
so
right.
So the least I can do is make you feel like a good man to sit down at the table and have some food. Because
yes,
we know food changes and does a lot for a person's soul, their mind, their body, and their spirit.
That's right.
So those are things that I really appreciate.
It does.
My
it
mother
does. I was just interjecting on that one point that you made. Food does a lot more than the physiology, for sustenance. It does something to the spirit. I agree with you so much on that.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's what we had then, and even to this day, still now. I mean, even if my son brings their friends over, you know, and they say, "Oh, Miss Dunnigan, you cook? Would you fix?" I still fix their plates and set it down at the table for them, not just needing them to go in there and feel that they are so, you know, comfortable. Where yes, you can still go in my kitchen and fix a plate, no doubt about it. But the fact that here it is, me being able to serve you in my home, that what makes me feel good. So, and my thing is no, regardless of what kind of man you're dealing with or who the man is, always give them that respect of being that man. And if it's just doing something as minor as preparing some food and sitting it in front of them, then do that. Because they are dealing with a lot out here.
That's
the
right.
ones that are trying to deal with it. And then think about the ones that we've lost and we're not going to see anymore. And all you had to do was something memorable to just Anakin's house. She fed us. She gave us food. She set it down in front of us. And that's it. It's a simple thing. I mean, sometimes if I'm with my guy, we may serve together, I guess you could kind of say, because it depends. Like if you're at an event and he may stand there and hold a plate while you prepare them. So you can sit down and eat together. I love sitting down and eating with my mate.
Yes.
That's always a time for us to release everything of the day, sit down, eat our food, how are you, laugh, talk, whatever the case may be. That was our time. And I would go in there and make sure that we enjoyed that. And just as the way I was raised, pretty much, you know, my aunts and grandmothers and stuff like that, I always had that type of thing, and I'm still this way too, where the women more so took care of the inside of the house and the men took care of the outside.
Right.
I never had to go outside and cut my grass. I never had to go outside and really water my grass unless that was something I wanted to do, you know, planting my own flowers because sometimes that's what I wanted to do. But I didn't do it and handle the stuff outside. I didn't
know
when I lived in the north.
You was the Martha Stewart with our group.
Yeah, I love doing the flowers. And I don't even do that anymore now. Even here on my patio, when I first came, I did a couple plants, but I go like, just the thought of that just doesn't excite me anymore.
Yeah, but your kids are grown and, you know.
Yeah, I think that changed a lot of that too.
Yeah, sure.
And I live exactly empty nested. Definitely. But, you know, like you said, I grew up being in the home to just, you know, took care of the inside and the men took care of the outside. And, you know, he took care of the bills and managed to take care of the home. And I still believe that to this day. And I'm thankful for those values because that helped me to know that this is what you look for in the men that you brought into your home. You don't just bring anybody. You know, if they can't help you or they're not looking to try to help you in some sort of way, you got to look at what else is there then. And I don't just mean them helping you financially. What else can you do? What can we do for each other?
You take care of each other the best way you can.
Yeah, you did. You know, whatever attributes that you had that you could use to help each other, you used them. We've fallen so far away from that. Society has changed us so much and made things so one-sided, and you know, it just
And to that point, Tanya, when you say society has changed, you know, even with Women's Lib, you know, I just always thought it was more than one way to skin a cat. I think it was important for women, but I think that we lost a lot. You know, anytime you get to a point where just going on a date, you don't want the man to open the door for you and all that. I just think it went too far.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love doing things for myself. I truly do, and thank God that I can.
Right.
But sometimes
right.
we get so full of ourselves with saying, I don't need a man because I can do this for myself. It's not even always that.
Right.
I mean, you know, no man wants a woman that feels that she can do everything for herself because he wants to know, well, then where's my place?
If he doesn't feel needed, he's out of there.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes some folks, they need to have their ego stroked to a certain degree. And I'm not saying you got to go out here and kiss somebody's, you know, bottom of their foot to make them feel superior, wanted, welcomed, or any of that. But just even still, just make them feel that I understand you're the man and I'm going to give you that leadership as long as they're leading it. And into a situation. And you see that they're not leading you, then okay, yeah, then now it's probably time for you to take the reins and switch it over. But we just have to be careful sometimes. I think sometimes, like you said, and I'm guilty of it myself, that we're so empowered by ourselves that we lose sight of some of those older values and things that make your relationship really work.
Yes, be careful with that lady. She's giving you all some pearls of wisdom this morning.
Yeah, you have
something
sometimes.
To be said for a woman being not losing. There's nothing wrong with independence. Independence is good, it's necessary, and it is proper. But we have to be careful with how we balance our feminine spirit. Am I saying that right, Tanya?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. I mean, it's a time and a place, and, you know, we don't have to always put it out there to say, well, you know what, I can do this for me, I can do that for me, I can do this for you too.
No.
The fact that there's a man there that's trying to spend time with you or even trying to be a part of your life, and if they're coming to you and they're looking to do that and can help and give you something for it, then sometimes you might not need to show them all your extra. Just sit back and see what
they can do
and work it from there. And if it needs some tweaking, then you can just figure out where you need to tweak it at and work with it and see what you can do. Because, I mean, who wants to be by themselves? You know, who wants to be by themselves? I mean, it's a lot to be said when every time you look up, you just got to do everything by yourself. It's not always the best thing. I mean, sometimes I enjoy my peaceful by myself moments. I do. But then there's nothing greater than just some great companionship, just to have conversation, just to be able to spend some quality time with someone that you know is loving you for who you are, and enjoy it. That's all I'm saying. You know, I sit back and I listen to a lot of guys complaining about, you know, bad relationships. Oh, well, I can't deal with her because she thinks this and says that, and I can't even see my child. Women keeping children from their fathers. You know, everything is always about money. If you're not giving me any money, I'm not dealing with you. You know, we have to understand that it's not always about the money. Sure enough, you need it. Don't get me wrong, to be a little bit more mindful and paying attention to what other values are there. And not to just, you know, wrestle a man down for them. Sometimes they're so broken, they don't really even know how to come to you and let you know what's going on and what's happened.
Right.
And we're not helping it when we have them come into our home or we're dealing with them in other areas and we're, you know, steadily bringing them down. I mean, like I said, going back to the mothers and the mothers, they think the mothers and my mom and all them, they didn't do that to the men. You didn't hear those kind of conversations going on around us. If there was something that needed to be said or done, obviously they did it and took care of it someplace where we wasn't hearing it. And don't get me wrong, it was times I may have heard my mom or dad having a what do you want to say, a powerful conversation, but it never was to the point to where it should be so bad that, you know, he's storming out the house, never coming back. That he's not going to take care of the children and look after the children. I mean, coming up in my day in the 70s and things like that, you know, most of us had two-parent homes. And so we grew up with that. Now, you rarely see this. Rarely see this. And, you know, being a divorced mom myself, it hurt me to my heart when I realized I was going to end up getting a divorce. But I had to look at a couple different things. How was it going to affect my children? How was it going to affect me, whether we stayed or left? But
and sometimes.
No, go ahead, Deb.
Oh no, I was just saying. Yeah, you were making a statement about how you had to make a decision as to how it would affect your children. Sometimes the children are better off if the parents separate.
Right.
And that's scientifically proven. Yeah, that's just a fact. But like you said, in our day, we all, you know, most of my friends and, you know, the generation before, you know, we had both parents in the house. My parents died out of their, you know, out of their marriage, meaning that they literally did till death did them part. You know.
Right.
And
the same thing for my grandparents.
Yeah.
Now, my parents did divorce, but my parents
divorced after we were adults.
My parents did divorce, but they divorced when we were adults. So it was really their decision to say, hey, I've been with you so long that I don't see this working and going any better than what it is. Let's just go ahead on and, you know, live our lives while we still have life to live. And I understood that. But the one great thing that I will say, and it doesn't always happen, but it was fortunate for me that we, even though my parents divorced, there was such an awesome blended family, that relationship that we had.
Because you have a great relationship even with your stepmom, right?
Oh, exactly, to this day. I mean,
yeah.
And she's been married longer, but she was married longer to my father before his passing than even my mother was. I think my parents were married like 20-something years when they divorced, and my stepmom and my father were married about 25 years when my father passed. And, you know, even to this day, she and I, you know, we talk all the time. We're very much in contact with each other, and, you know, and even when my parents were divorced and my father had remarried, she and my father were still always involved in all of our holidays, any family events and things like that, with my mother being there, with the guy that she was dating. So we never had any of that craziness where they couldn't be in the same room together. So I was very fortunate that I had that. I mean, some folks can't. I mean, it was very difficult for me when I divorced to try to be anywhere near my
ex-husband. Yeah, blended families are hard. They're hard. They're very hard. Yeah.
You know, these women have taught me a lot.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying, them being my mom, I said, you know, but these women being my mothers have taught me a lot.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot from both of them, just, you know, being two different, entirely different people. And their ways being entirely different. I mean, I've learned a lot from both of them. So thankful for both my mothers, you know, my mom and my bonus mom, you know.
Right. Yeah. Amen. I like that term.
I'm gonna have to use that.
Yeah. Now that sounds better. Stepmom, there's something wicked about stepmom, ain't it?
Yeah, you know what? I used to say that for so long, and then the bonus mom thing came up, and I thought to myself, you know, she's not really my stepmom, but she, you know, she didn't birth me or anything like that, but she's my bonus mom because I give her the same respect that I gave my mother. You know, she's never been anything other than in a mom's role, but also right. respectful. You know, even though she wasn't right. my natural mother. So, you know, and I right. thank God for her because I think about, you know, when my father was ill and everything that he went through, she was the absolute best on managing and taking care of everything. I think
wow.
that,
yeah.
you know, she kept us in the loop with everything that was going on. There was none of that, oh, I just wait for his kids to call. Never, never, never.
No, right. Yeah, that's
so
important.
You know, there was none of that. Her kids are better than our kids, and we would—I mean, we bonded like it was nothing.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's a great point to make. One of my favorite songs, you know, for Father's Day, they always play that song. I color him father.
Oh, yeah.
The song the guy made about his stepdad. Yeah. That's one of my favorite Father's Day songs. But anyway, yeah, actually, you made so many wonderful points. And I want to point out, you know, like a couple of things, like when you were talking about how, you know, one of your best advice, one of the best advice moments from your mother was to always be yourself and never letting anybody take you out of yourself and following the crowd and things like that. And I think that's important in this day and time. There's a lot of group thing going on. In social media world, nobody thinks for themselves. Everybody's on a bandwagon. Everybody's on a tangent. They don't even know what they are, you know, fighting for or believing or attacking somebody for. Is just what's going on at the moment, and everybody jumps in. And that's not a good thing.
Right. I mean, we're so caught up in being caught up. It's crazy. I mean, you know, it took years for me to get on social media because I hated it. I thought it was just entirely the devil.
Years. Right.
And, I mean, I think people talk. They say some things sometimes that just don't need to be said on social media. Tell them too much of your business. Tell them too much of everything. I mean, you know, you can't even get on social media and somebody not say, I'm sitting here eating dinner. Okay, well, eat the dinner. We don't need to know. Everything
right.
you do, you posting about it. Just enjoy
your
life. We don't have to know every single thing you do. Surprise us. Let's not hear from you for a minute. I don't know. Stop telling everything.
Right. Hey, it's too much.
Everything.
It's too much.
Yes. Don't have anything to keep to yourself. But you know I can't tell you nothing to talk to much. Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not getting on there and seeing the pictures and hearing the explanations and the what's and the where's about who this and who that, all those things. But, you know, at some point, too, let's just keep in mind your life don't all need to be displayed out in public. Like they used to say, you know, don't air your dirty laundry.
That's right.
But people do. People do. So
people
just,
do,
and
they need to stop, please, please. We don't need to see all of that. And sometimes you can know too much, you know. Commonality breeds contempt. They used to say.
Absolutely.
People know too much about you. They don't like you. It's not a good thing. So, listen, I actually have another caller. Can you believe it?
All right. Well, I am not going to hold up your line. Thank you, sis. I'm going to
catch
you for the rest of the show.
I enjoyed what you shared with us, and in fact you made some good, you threw out some pearls of wisdom throughout, and I have forgot some of them, but I'm going to reach back and think about some of the things that you shared, because you shared a lot. I appreciate that. And listen, I'm doing a $25 Cash App today, so for the best story, quote, advice, or whatever. So I'll let you know if you won.
Okay. Thank you.
It's just something you can go to McDonald's with. Put some gas in the car.
Girl, look. Yes, $25 to put some gas in the car and get a pack of pork chops, girl.
Yeah.
Especially with these gas prices right now.
It's just a little caller. You know, I didn't have to buy a Mother's Day.
You know what? It came from the heart. It came from the heart.
That's right.
So that's wonderful.
Listen, what somebody told me, they said, people are not going to call in for $25. I said, listen, I'm not trying to feed the family. I'm just trying to, you know, just a little token to just brighten somebody's day.
Yeah, and I mean, my whole thing is if you weren't offering anything, I was calling in.
Sure was. I already know it.
You know it. All right, love you,
yeah,
sis. Enjoy your day, and I'm still listening to the show.
Wonderful. I love you, too, and enjoy your day, and send them boys some love from the aunties up in Detroit.
I will, honey. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, hello, caller. Can you hear me? Hello, caller, you're on the line. You're live with Deb Mitchell.
Yeah, good morning.
Hello. Good morning, good morning.
Yeah,
who am
morning.
I speaking with?
Shout out Mother's Day to everything. Happy Mother's Day. You know, shout out to the mothers.
Happy Mother's Day. Hold on a second. Turn your device down so that you can listen and talk straight through your telephone. Whatever you got turned up is giving you feedback.
Yeah. Now, just share the shout outs to all the mothers and whatnot today. Yes, sir.
Oh, that is so sweet.
To women, you know.
We can't hear you. We can't hear you. Turn your device down.
Because my phone is kind of like messed up right now. I think the phone. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, yeah, I think the phone. Yeah, my phone is kind of messed up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, what is your name again? I didn't hear. Well, is there anything particular you want to say to the mothers?
I'm not saying enjoy it. Enjoy.
Okay. I love it. I'm so glad to hear a man's voice this morning. Did you hear what I said?
I was just trying to listen in and tune in and feel the energy that y'all was talking about and stuff like that. But anyway, so I just wanted to just chime in with that, saying that, you know, Happy Mother's Day and stuff like that. To all the people, you know,
okay. Well, listen, I am so glad that you called in, and you know, keep checking in on us, and I would love to hear your voice again, and keep supporting, okay?
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. That's what I was trying to let's see if Jimmy want to chime back in with more information and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, do you know what my Facebook, let me put up the, I'm going to put up my website information. I'm going to put up my website information. And
you was talking about it earlier.
Yeah, it's on the screen now. You can go to the website. You can send me personal messages through the website, and it'll hit my email box, and I'll respond to you. Because I really want to know, you know, who you are. Because I couldn't hear your name still, but
I was saying.
But you can send to my personal email.
Okay.
Yeah. But I appreciate it. Isn't that nice, ladies? We got the gentleman calling in and wish everybody a happy Mother's Day. I'm loving that. I think that's cool. I think that's cool. So, yeah. I appreciate you calling in. I can't really hear you that good. But hit me up on the website and send me a message, and I'll definitely respond to you. Okay. I don't know if you can hear me. I had to disconnect because I couldn't hear. It was a lot of feedback. I couldn't make out what he was saying. But that was a gentleman calling in just to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day, and I think that's so cool. Just to hear from the guys. The guys love their mothers and all of that stuff too, just like we do. So, but I definitely want to close this out, and I'm definitely going to be doing the Cash App shortly, actually. And here's something I saw. And I posted it on my community advocate page, and it's just a daily quarantine questionnaire. And the first question says, what am I grateful for today? Who am I checking in on or connecting with today? What expectations of normal am I letting go of today? And I think that's important. We talked about that when I had the girls on a couple weeks ago, about the new normal and the adjustments and the temporary normals. And we're going to go through a lot of vicissitudes through this thing. And so we want to definitely not have, as my girlfriend Tanya says, don't have expectations of other people. People don't think like you. They don't move like you. None of that stuff. It'll keep you at peace. If you don't have expectations, you won't be disappointed. But you need to be cognizant and cognitive of those things, your triggers. You know, we used to call them triggers, things that have set you off, put you in the wrong headspace. You need to be aware of those things. And so you don't give it to no road rage and anger and things like that, because we're going through so much during this quarantine and this health crisis, public health crisis, that we need to be constantly adjusting and readjusting and resetting ourselves daily. So I thought this questionnaire was great. So the last couple of questions said, how am I getting outside today? How am I moving my body today? That's very good. One of the things that they talk about with the immune system is that a sedentary lifestyle, meaning couch potato, basically. If you're sitting around the house, not doing nothing, and I am guilty, double, triple guilty of that. I'm not doing nothing, but I am sitting too much. Even when I'm working, I'm sitting. And it's not good for your heart. It's not good for other vital organs and things like that. I am not a medical doctor, but I can tell you from experience, it is not a good thing. Just the weight gain loss that I, as you can see, y'all haven't seen me for a while. I have picked up quite a few pounds. But regardless, these are things that you can do to kind of keep yourself in check. And then it says, what beauty am I either creating, cultivating, or inviting in today? So that is something that's a personal thing. I don't know if you like to draw or something that you do that's artsy. If you're listening to a good record, music, and just dancing around the house, letting the sunlight in, opening the blinds, and just letting sunlight in. I find that when I open my blinds, it welcomes the day. It does something to me. There's something very spiritual in letting the sunlight in the house for me personally. I've been doing it as a kid. I get it from my father. He would always say, open the curtains. So I still do it. Clinical diagnosis for lack of sunshine. Did y'all know that? There's a mental health diagnosis in the DSM, I don't know what they're on, five, I think nowadays, that the diagnostic statistical manual, that is the guide for mental health diagnosis. There is a clinical diagnosis for the lack of sunshine. Fact. Check it out. Okay, so these are things that, and I thought this was pretty cool because we're doing everything so differently and we're basically confined to the house, but it is a good thing. It is a good thing. It is a good thing. People are complaining because they think that our rights are being violated, that we need to get the economy going, which is true. Where the economy is, it's going to take years to even fix what has happened in the past couple months. And so this is a genuine, valid concern and all of those types of things. But listen, if you have not read up on the Spanish flu of 1918, go and do that and listen and read about or listen to some YouTube videos about the second and third wave of that pandemic. It came in three phases, more deadly each time. And scientists are already telling us that in the fall, this thing is going to come back even with a vengeance. Slow down because of the higher temperatures, but that's not even proven. They are speculating that the warmer weather will decrease its virility, but we don't know that. So, and they don't have a cure, and they don't have a treatment. So that is to give you a clue. They don't have any clue or a treatment. So in that respect, it is not time to resume life and business as usual. So I hope that you guys are sticking just wait. I can't say that enough. I have lost people. Most everybody has been affected by this coronavirus already. And so let's do what we got to do, people, and hold them kids down. I know they don't understand. You know, folks want to get out. Listen. We gotta do the right thing, and particularly in the African American community, because this thing is almost targeting us at this point, and so we need to be very, very careful. So that's it, and I'm gonna announce the winner, and I'm gonna do the Cash App and all of that stuff. So listen, I appreciate you guys. I love you, all of the mothers. Please have a wonderful, happy Mother's Day. My girlfriend Deb, when she called in, she said that she's doing Zoom with her family and they're going to have tea over Zoom. And I think that's cool. That's a good way to get around not being able to visit or go to dinner or whatever. I don't know what y'all think. But find some kind of way to just enjoy the day. You know, I don't know if the kids are going to be, and grandkids are going to be dropping off gifts and open your gifts, take pictures with the, you know, and send them out and whatever, post them on social media, however you do it. And, you know, it's all good, you know, find a way to make yourself happy and not get bogged down with the fact that you can't be out and about, hopefully. People are moving a little way more that a lot more than what they were 30 days ago. So I know we're out there, but listen, do what you got to do and get in the house, get back, go back home. That's my little 2 cents from GD section. All right, guys, I love you. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. I hope you're having a great one. Take care.